This morning we heard a reading from the letter of the book of Job. A reading which picks up at the end of the story, essentially. And we all know the story of Job and what happened to him, how he was a righteous man. He wasn't even an Israelite, and yet he trusted in Yahweh God. He trusted in Him, and he believed in Him, and he knew that He was his God, and that he knew he would never forsake God. And God knew this too, and so Satan comes to him up in the courts of heaven and says, "Let me afflict Job, and surely he will desert you." And God says, "You may do anything to him you wish, except you can't kill him." And so Satan took away every single thing that Job had. Family and friends, livestock and possessions, everything was taken away. And when bad things happened, Job did exactly what you and I do. He complained. He moaned and groaned and whined about all the evil things, the bad things that were happening to him. But just as God predicted, Job did not turn his back on God. And so God restored everything and more to Job. But after Job had finished his whining and complaining, God comes to him and speaks to him here in chapter 38. And I love how he begins his address. God says, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Who is speaking like a stupid idiot? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me, if you are really a man, then be a man," God says. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy, who did all this? Who created everything that you see? Who made everything around you? Who was it that did this? If you're a real man, you can tell me." "You know I did," God says. "I am responsible for every single thing that you see. Nothing exists that I did not make." That's what God says. He's speaking the truth, of course, to Job. Job was complaining that everything had been taken away from him. All of his things, all of his possessions, his family, his friends. Some friends trying to give him reasons to rationalize his way out of the situation. Everything was taken from him. And God says, essentially, "I gave it to you. It was mine to take away." Now, we all rejoiced. We rejoiced last week. We rejoiced the week before when we had a little rain. And we rejoiced this weekend in particular. And during first service, it was lovely because just as I reached this point, it came a downpour outside. Perfect illustration. We rejoiced at the rain. Now, I got to be able to see for this. Who here prayed for it to rain? Show of hands. Okay. Those of you who don't have your hands raised, I know that you whined and complained about it too. Now, who here had the ability to make it rain? Who here had the ability? Didn't matter how much we begged. Didn't matter how much we cried and complained. We couldn't do it. At the end of the chapter, God says to Job, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here I am? Can you speak up to the clouds and the clouds pour out water? No. We can't, no matter how much begging and screaming and shaking our fist at the sky would cause it to rain. I don't know how many times people asked Gary to make sure a rain dance got done. He could have danced until he was blue in the face. It would have been irrelevant. Until God was ready for it to rain, it did not rain. And nothing that you or I could do by our own ability could bring that water. Now, my mother has a green thumb. She can just look at a plant and it grow. She talks to them. She pets them. She does nice things to them. She knows what kind of Miracle-Gro or whatever it is, probably some natural thing because she listens to Howard Garrett. Some natural stuff she puts in there and it just grows like crazy. She can make plants grow from rocks. Me, they look at me and the plants die. Nothing I can do will make a plant grow. I guess I put out the wrong kind of vibes. But in truth, even my mother cannot make a plant grow. She has a skill that she learned. She has an empathy that she probably inherited. But everything that she can do to make plants grow, she does not do. They are a gift from God that she is blessed to exercise. I am plagued with the opposite. Nothing that any of us have, be it the rain that came down from the sky, be it the plants that grew up from the ground, be it the food that we eat on our tables, be the clothes that we're wearing on our backs this very instant, nothing that we have belongs to us. Nothing that we have has been earned by us. Everything we have and everything we are is a gift of God's grace. God created it. God created not just what you see around you, but God created the stuff that it's made out of. There's a wonderful story about the scientists. They get into a big debate with God about who can make life better. And so they got into an argument and God said, I think I can make a human being better than you can, you scientists. And the atheist scientists say, no, we can make a human being better than you can, God. And so God says, okay, I'll test you on this. You make a man and I'll make a man and we'll compare them. And whoever makes the better man wins. And so they agreed. And so God stooped down and picked up some mud and started to make a man out of this dirt. The scientists looked at each other and then watched God for a minute and then looked back at each other and they said, well, okay. So they stooped down and got some dirt and they started to make their own dirt and make their own man. And God said, get your own dirt. God made the dirt. God made everything that we are and everything that we had. You may be saying to yourself, but I worked hard to build this house. I worked hard to earn everything I have. I worked hard to get to where I am. I studied hard to get to where I am. Alina, you studied hard to get your interviews to go to medical school. You studied hard to score as well as you did on the MCAT. But guess what, friends? The ability to study hard, the grace and strength to study hard, the stamina to study hard, the brain with which she studied hard, came from God. She had to exercise it. She had to apply it. But it came from God. And everything that we have and are is a gift of God's grace. God made us. We belong to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. Not only that, not only did God make us, but Jesus Christ died for us, buying us, if you will. We belong to God. We are God's precious possession. We lack the ability to create rain. We lack the ability to make it thunder and lightning. And anything that we can do, and one day we may be able to make it rain. But even when we can do that, it's God's grace and God's ability and God's power working through us. Claude Tier in the hospital right now. Underwent surgery on Wednesday. By that surgery, he will be healed. It's God doing the healing, friends, through the instrument of the doctors. Everything that we have and everything that we are comes from God. And if we fail to acknowledge it, we stumble into valleys of weeping. If we fail to acknowledge it, the same thing that happened to Job can happen to you and me. It can all be taken away. That's hard for us to remember, isn't it? That everything that we have and are comes from God. And I mean everything. Even the food on our tables, the clothing on our backs, the blood in our veins, and the breath in our lungs. Everything comes from God, belongs to God. We are God's precious possession. What else does God say? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their cover, who provides for even the raven its prey? When its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food, God provides even the lions and the ravens their food. God provides everything that we need. And since God provides all that we have and are in need, we are called to give thanksgiving to God. And that's the theme of our coming revival in November, beginning on Sunday, November the 12th. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for everything that we have received, all the gifts of this life, all the wonderful talents and abilities that God has given us, all the graces that God has poured out upon us. We are called to give thanks to God for everything that God has given and done through and for us in the days and years gone by. And also give thanks to God for all the gifts that He's going to pour out upon us, all the blessings of His revival and strength that He's going to pour out upon us. We are called to give thanks to God. And in this Thanksgiving revival next month, we will give thanks for what we have received and what God is yet to pour out upon us. And to get ready for that revival, I believe that we need several weeks of preparation. Now, whether or not you know it, preparation has been going on behind the scenes for weeks already. But now it's time for all of us to step in. I'm going to challenge us to two paths of preparation the next several weeks to get ready for this revival come November the 12th. The first path, the first challenge, is prayer. By prayer, we truly recognize that what we have and are comes from God. And so I call each of us to some time, amount of time, every single day between now and the beginning of the revival, prayer of thanksgiving and praise to God for the gifts we have received. I challenge you every day to make a list and every day to add a gift, a blessing, an ability, a joy to that list between now and the revival. A gift from God, a blessing from God. Add it to your list day by day until that list grows long indeed. And then come on the day of the revival, and during the altar time, you are invited, during one of the days of revival, you will be invited to lay that gift, that thanksgiving, that list of praise before God. Turn it over as an offering to God. You are invited to pray. up to the time of the revival, and of course beyond. But for the several days just prior to the revival, beginning on Thursday before the revival, we're going to have a prayer vigil. And outside the sanctuary on the bulletin board is a sign-up sheet with 30-minute incremental listings. You're invited to choose some times between Thursday and Sunday to pray for this coming revival, to pray that we might give thanks and might receive further blessings, to recognize that all we have is from God. So I invite you between now and then to sign up on that list, to sign up multiple times if you need to, so that every 30 minutes between Thursday and Sunday at the beginning of the revival may be filled with a prayer of thanksgiving to God for all we have received and for all we will receive. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is deeper still. In Scripture it says that sometimes prayer just isn't enough for us. We need to focus our prayer through a discipline known as fasting. I see. In fact, I know several people are now rolling their eyes. Oh, no. Fasting. Yep. Now, there are many ways to fast. You can give up all food. That one's hard, friends. It can be dangerous. And if your health isn't good, I don't recommend it. If you feel called to give up all food except for just a little, you know, proper vitamins and liquid, and your doctor agrees, maybe you should. But if you can't do that, you might give up something. Now, that doesn't mean that you can give up steamed okra, that slimy stuff that my mother loves and I hate. If you love it, you can give it up. Don't give it to me, but you can give it up. But if you don't love it, don't give it up. That doesn't mean you can give up broccoli if you don't love it. Give up something that you love, that you rejoice in, that is a wonderful gift of God's grace to you. For me, that's usually chocolate ice cream. If I happen to give up chocolate ice cream for this time of fasting, that will be a great sacrifice. Most of you have something similar in mind right now. Some food that you adore, that you can give up. Giving up something as a time of fasting for prayer helps to hone and to focus your prayer time. You recognize that gift that you've given up. You recognize it as a gift from God. It helps you appreciate it more when you're done, but it also helps to remind you that what we're doing is giving thanks for what we have received. So I invite you to select something to make it part of your fasting discipline. Between now and the revival, make a commitment with God to give up something, something that you adore, and to turn it over to God in your prayer time, saying thanksgiving for the gift. And here, Lord, I give it back to you. You see, we can't give the lion his food. We can't create food out of nothing. We don't have the ability to shower manna down on the Israelites like God did. Everything we have is a gift of God's grace. Let us give thanks to God for that gift, for the grace which fills us physically and spiritually. Let us give thanks to God as we start to prepare for the coming time of revival. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.